Cape Talk.
Cape Talk. A world view from London.
John, welcome back to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Yeah, very nice to be with you again. I'm fine.
Of course. All right. Fantastic. All right. So just a very brief one. Congratulations. A first medal for the United Kingdom. We were just talking about Africa taking over the pool, but the United Kingdom stays strong. What was your first gold medal?
Yeah, it took a little while coming. We worked up from a bronze, which was in the judo. Then we managed a silver in the taekwondo yesterday. And then we got today off to a good start with our first gold. And that was in the swimming. I mean, Adam Peaty is powering away in the pool in the 100 meters breaststroke. There's no one to touch him. I think everyone assumed he'd get gold because there's no one coming close. He did actually manage to break a record, just to add to the glory for him. He's the first British swimmer to defend an Olympic title. So, well done to Adam Peaty. So we've got our first gold.
Congratulations. Now, MPs are saying that women in the British Armed Forces actually have been suffering not only bullying and serious sexual assault and are being denied justice, something that we see in many military regiments, but I haven't really heard this much of it from the United Kingdom.
Yeah, I think it's an issue, isn't it, in militaries around the world that they're obviously thinking about equality and bringing women in at all levels. And it's less than 3 years since all combat military roles in the army were opened up to women. And I guess that's probably quite progressive compared to some other countries' militaries. But it does seem there's still a really long way to go until females feel that they are being treated equally. And this committee of MPs questioned more than 4,000 women, really big study of veterans and some of those who are still serving. And the MPs say they were truly shocked at what they heard. These accounts of sexual assault, rape and bullying, and that the victims are being denied justice because the military complaint system is woefully inadequate, and that many victims don't come forward because they fear reprisals. And that what happens is that, you know, the men in charge, often it is men, try and sweep it under the carpet because they don't want their reputations and their careers damaged. So what MPs are saying is just take the whole thing away from the military justice system, try these serious cases in civilian courts instead, and then maybe there's more chance of equality. And the Ministry of Defence says they've done a lot to make women feel welcome in the military, but they do recognise there's still quite a long way to go.
John, I mean, this would not, that kind of a statement would not fly if it were men that were being subjugated to this. You know, it wouldn't be like, we've done enough for you, just wait your turn. You could literally be telling the story about the South African National Defence Force. Also, we had a study that showed so much rape and sexual harassment against women. Similarly, they say we'll try them in military court, and it's not appropriate.
No, and it's tricky, isn't it? Because, you know, by its very nature, I guess, it's a macho environment, isn't it? The armed forces, the army in particular.
Yeah.
But you know, that just won't wash now, will it? But it's going to take a long time for some of these, I think, entrenched views amongst men who perhaps feel threatened by women coming into the man's world and the old boys' network, etc. How do you break that down? It can't happen overnight. And I think you've got to be, you know, it's great that women are coming forward to be in the military, and they still say they want to be in the military and they want to have these roles and they want equality. They shouldn't really have to fight for it this much, should they?
Seriously. Okay, on to health. COVID-19 continues across the UK. Congratulations again, by the way, for opening up last week, although I have nothing but anxiety when I see videos of people heading around. Of course, you guys are more vaccinated than we. Why did the health secretary have to apologize, by the way?
Oh, yeah. The choice of words is such an important thing, isn't it? And I would say not the wisest use of words from the relatively new Health Secretary, Sajid Javid. Now, he put a message out on social media at the weekend saying he'd made a full recovery from COVID, so he suffered himself. And then he said people should learn to live with rather than cower from coronavirus. And if you look it up in the dictionary, cower is to bend down or move backwards with your head down because you're frightened. And a bereaved families justice group say, look, this is deeply insensitive. What about all those health workers who've gone in day after day, week after week, month after month, putting their lives in danger in order to keep the country running and to save lives? Did they ever cower from coronavirus? And opposition MPs say it's really careless words and it's insulting to all those who followed the rules to keep themselves and others safe. And Sajid Javid says, I apologise. It was a poor choice of word. I think it's, you know, a politician's got to be so careful because obviously he's trying to put out the message that we shouldn't be cowed by coronavirus. Mm. We shouldn't be too frightened, but to accuse people of being scared of it when people have lost loved ones and the number of cases are still quite high, I think people thought this wasn't quite the right use of words at all.
Not an interesting, not an easy way to start off, having just taken over from Matt Hancock. There are COVID clashes in Paris in many respects because people are not interested in Macron's passport, COVID passport, but this may well be a reality for English football fans, and I can't imagine they'll take this lying down.
No, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, you can see the clashes going on in Paris there, where the protesters are really not happy about the idea of what they're calling COVID passes, that you'd have to have a pass to take part in some activities, and it would have to be, it'd be mandatory for health workers to have the virus. So a real show of strength of feeling on the streets of Paris in particular, because of this feeling that this is a curb on freedom. And the government here had been very wary of introducing so-called COVID passports for that very reason, that it would be seen by many as a two-tier society. I think the reality now is people are saying, if you're going to get back to normal, maybe we have got to embrace COVID passports in some settings. And the latest setting that they're talking about, as early as the autumn when the new season starts, is Premier League football. Now, obviously, the rich football clubs would love it in a way, because it means that they could have their stadiums full if there was proof that everyone sitting in the stadiums in the stands had double vaccinations, because they'd had to show their COVID passports. But civil liberties groups say it's a two-tier society, the haves and the have-nots. Conservative MPs, that's Boris Johnson's own MPs, a number of them are against it, so he might have trouble getting this passed. But perhaps we've got to have this debate about, if we do want to get on with our lives, maybe we've got to accept things like COVID passports in order to, you know, to take part in activities and see our favourite football teams. But it's a really hot topic, and it's going to be quite a row, I think. Let's hope it doesn't escalate to how it has done in Paris and France, with protests on the streets and tear gas and water cannon. No sign, I should say, of anything like that happening here. But there is still strong feelings against the idea of COVID passports. But the government's going to see if they can make it happen, I think.
Indeed. John, catch up soon. Thank you so much for that world view.